when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all right with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
It's a parade day in Chicago. Just another championship victory celebration. We have these fairly often around here, but not for the Cubs. So this will be a little different. Steve Cochran Show for a Friday morning. The rally in Grant Park. You'll hear it right here on WGN, all the festivities surrounding it. The parade beginning, well, the Cubs will leave Wrigley Field a little after 10 o'clock this morning, and Steve is actually already in the parade. He is leading the parade. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm kind of the front man, the advance man. I'm walking the parade route right now.
Mm-hmm. How's
and
it look?
It looks pretty good. I'm wearing a full Cubs uniform. It's Pinello's old uniform.
Very nice.
And I'm in spikes. So I hope the clickety-clack doesn't bother you, but it looks pretty good. We're going to need more ticker tape, though, Dave, if you could run some of that out.
I have a shredder up in my office.
Yeah, shred important documents wherever you find them. We need ticker tape.
Going to need probably a little more than I can supply, Steve.
We can start cutting. Let's just start taking the scissors, and we'll just start cutting individual pieces of ticker tape.
Don't cut the newspaper from yesterday.
Is there going to be ticker tape? Is that official?
Yeah, there will be ticker tape. And just a reminder for everybody, these barricades are already set up everywhere and on Michigan Avenue. So literally crossing the street right now at 6:12 in the morning will take you 10 minutes.
Is that why you just got back here from Starbucks?
Okay. I was cutting ticker tape.
So there are no tickers anymore, right? So ticker tape is kind of a misnomer.
Yeah, ticker tape's the old word for it. Now it's just paper. But it doesn't sound great to go, hey, it's a paper parade.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dispel the illusion there that it's ticker tape.
So if the kids are coming down, what fun. Hey, kids, this morning before we leave, take mom and dad's important paperwork, like the mortgage to the house, and cut it up so you can throw it at the Cubs.
Woo! Heavy police presence, too, people, by the way. Lots of police
officers.
Well,
let's just shut this city down. For those of you planning on coming in, it's already too late.
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the streets right now?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Cub fans. They're all in line at
because
Starbucks.
I'm actually at Wrigley, as you know, making my way back.
Yeah. What's the mood up there?
It's quiet right now, yeah. But I anticipate noise later. we'll keep you up to date with the parade as it progresses later. I suppose it'll be the first part of the Bill and Wendy show, right?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, because it will. Well, I mean, they're leaving Wrigley at 10 o'clock, but the start of the parade is said to be 11. So there seems to be a little bit of a lapse there in the time schedule. We can't quite figure that out.
Yeah, it's weird because
yesterday we thought we're amazed they could pull it off today. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we thought it would be Monday at the earliest.
I'm surprised that they are pulling something of this magnitude off in less than 24 hours. I know plans have been in the works, I get that, but just to credential everybody and shut the streets down, and you have police officers already working overtime on overtime basically because they've been just solid throughout the whole playoffs and the World Series.
Well, the bottom line is this: how does it affect us? And we've got a bird's eye view from the studio window, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be unfortunate that Bill and Wendy will be trying to do a show while we have 900 people that work at the tower pressing their face against the window. But hey, that's show business. You got to work around it. And on the program today, I'm sure I'll be thrilled about a Cubs parade. Bill Rancic's coming in.
Oh, all right.
So Rancic will be on talking about his new book. We got a bunch of Cubs stuff today. We got stuff today. We got Steve stuff today. We got you stuff today. Why don't we do some traffic, and then we'll continue with the festivities. I've just arrived back from Wrigley. I'll see you in 30 seconds.
Excellent.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
And Jonathan Taves will be on the show later as well. Taser. Another fine Hawks win last night. They are hot. 7-3-1 now, and Taser got a goal early. Jose got a couple of goals last night. You know what I think Jose had? An extra insurer before the game.
Huh? Yeah. You think so?
Yeah,
I think
playing
that's
like
what
this at
it.
That age? Come on, man. And Lou Manfredini live at Channel 9?
He's not – I love that at that age, he's – what is he, 32?
No, he's 37, 38. He's nearly dead.
I think you or myself and Dave, we'd all take 37.
Oh, yeah, I'd love a 37 do-over. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Lou, for not including me in that.
Andre, what do you think? I was born yesterday?
If I knew now what I knew then. No, if I knew then what I know now, right? If I knew then what I know now.
Yes.
Ooh, I'd be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. All of us.
Actually, I think I was during the 90s.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I was crazy.
Yeah. Although, can I just say, you know, that Dave Bennett, the handsome man, dressed up like, what was he dressed up like? Bam Bam?
Bam Bam, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave,
no, Barney.
Dave, I want you to take this
Barney.
Away.
Barney?
Barney Rubble.
Oh, Barney
yes.
Rubble. You got the guns.
Yeah, no, his guns were tremendous.
Yeah.
His son, Mike Jacobson, you know, who filled out the Bam Bam costume.
Taller.
I don't remember Bam Bam having a foofy little beret.
And six-pack abs.
Well, the six-pack abs, that was Bam Bam. But Bam Bam had a beret. I don't remember Bam Bam having that.
And he kept going over to the guy at the bar and saying, can you make me a fruit tingle? I'm not quite sure what that was.
It was delicious, Lou, actually.
First caller,
very,
always.
Very, very refreshing.
Always.
It's a little sweet. You can really only have one.
Always wins. 312-981-7200. First caller always wins. 312-981-7200. We also have whiny staff questions for Lou, the staff that doesn't want to pay for, you know, actually hiring Lou to come out and do the work for him.
Yeah.
By the way, we may need an adjustment in the studio clock, which says it's 3:07.
That's Cubs time.
why
maybe
is the clock
got stuck at the exact time that everybody left Wrigley Field after the World Series?
Or maybe it's just broken.
Yeah,
it's broken. There's water behind it.
There's water behind the clock.
There's condensation. Yeah, and it's broken that, and so it's also affecting your clock on the board.
So why do we need Manfredini if we can have you figure this stuff out?
Right, she's very talented.
Wait, the most important thing, Steve. How will you ever follow the clock today?
Well, this is
how does he follow it any
day? Timing.
Oh, but that clock is the clock I look up at. We have digital clocks all over. We've got 47 ways to keep time in the studio. I don't pay attention to any of them.
And you still can't write. You still can't.
Yeah, but I look up and see the big school clock on the wall, and now it says 3:07. So
engineer Bob gave us a heads up on this clock, and Mike and I were both like, he doesn't look at that clock, so we didn't even give you a heads up.
No,
it
absolutely.
Turns out it's the one
that's
you
the clock I look at. I like my clocks old school.
It's the analog clock.
Kevin will be your first caller in just a second. I'm going to go live to Mary Vandeveld on the 7th floor. Mary?
Yes?
You just explained to us the Cubs parade will not go by this window. Then why do we have barricades in the street?
Because there's going to be a lot of people out and about.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's security.
Hold on a second. What do you mean, right? There's a lot of people out and about every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Chicago.
People are heading down to, you know, down to Ohio. It's going to be between Ohio and Oak on Michigan Avenue, so they're going to be heading down that way. It's going to be very crowded.
Ohio's four blocks?
That's not that much.
Five.
Not
well,
that
about
far.
Four
yeah.
blocks.
A lot of people.
But
yeah.
Oak is like
I'm
going to
be at Wrigley Field, by the way,
blocks.
If you're looking for me. The whole Manfredini family sends two of us. We'll be there.
You're going to Wrigley?
Yeah.
You throwing it around a little bit with the fellas?
No, I'm taking my wife, two of my children, because their schools are closed.
Right.
Because of this.
And the suburban kids are having a fit because, you know, their schools aren't closed today. So,
right.
And they're all
ditching
school. Well,
should have moved
to
the city. That's what I'm saying. All
there
you people, you leave the city.
Actually,
and then when good things happen, what do? Y'all complain.
Anyway. Oh, wow.
I wonder if Lou's how many shows are going on right now?
Right.
I wonder if Lou's
going to
be wearing that big bear suit that he was wearing on
Monday. It was a hot look for you.
Can I tell you, I wore it during Halloween, and all these kids who have no idea who the bear in the big blue house is are like, are you the Cubby Bear? Because I wore my Santo jersey over the bear costume. And I said, sure.
Yeah, whatever you need,
would you
kid.
Like a Reese's?
Whatever you need, kid. Take the candy and move along. I got a line here.
I'm very busy.
So, all right, let's go with the whiny staff questions right after we get to Kevin on line one. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine. Say hello to Lou Manfredini, world famous Mr. Fix-It.
The best he is, that's for sure.
All right, what's your issue there, Kevin?
Well, I want to pour concrete over my driveway. I want to go over the existing to save myself some time and money, obviously. The existing is cracked up. It's probably 30, 40 years old, the existing driveway. And am I able to go over with like 4 inches of concrete without tearing that out?
I mean,
I have the room for the elevation rise on it, you know, with the yard.
I mean, you do, but the problem is with the cracks, with the concrete underneath it cracked, you're going to spend all this money installing new concrete, and it's just going to crack as well. The surface that you put down, whether it's blacktop or concrete, is only as strong and as sound as the material below it. And to me,
that's why you tear it out, right? That's why you tear it out and redo the base.
If you have a concrete contractor come and pour it over the top of that, you're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood about $5 a square foot to have that done. If you have them come and remove and replace, where they take it all out, you're going to be spending somewhere around $8 or $9, and it's a better job. Now, if you want to just, if there's a lot of spalling, meaning, you know, potting and pitting of the concrete and a few cracks, there is a product I've talked about that's made by a local company called Tintcrete, and you can put a coat over it at the top. It's really durable. And they make it in 5-gallon buckets. You can do one section at a time, and they have an old concrete look and a new concrete look. The older look has a little bit of brown in it, and the website is tintcrete.com.
Tintcrete. Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's a really terrific product.
All right. So, Kevin, don't hang up because we have prizes for you. And if you don't like Lou's answer, as always, I will give out Lou's cell phone number, and you can call and yell at him later.
Thanks.
That's the kind of friend I am. You know that. Let's see. For you, I have, Kevin. I do. I have it right here.
A Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat.
Stop showing off. It's an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat is what it is, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Does that mean like Morley Safer lived with those guys before he passed?
Right.
Call 855-955-HVAC. Let's go to the whiny staff questions before I hit a couple of texters here, starting with Sandberg.
Hey, Lou.
Hi, Mayor.
So I already solved our clock problem in here in the studio,
but I have
a question in my house. Mm-hmm. Our master bedroom, you know how they put outlets on either side of the bed for a nightstand, you know, a lamp on the nightstand or whatever?
Mm-hmm. You know about electricity, Lou, how they put outlets in?
Right.
So, you know, our house was built in 1958, and I think maybe that's before king-size beds were.
Sure.
And so the outlet width is probably better for maybe a queen size or a full size bed. So we have an issue where Pat's using his outlet, but then the bed is in the way of my outlet. And I don't want to use a power strip because I don't like, we have pedestal nightstands and I don't want to see a power strip. So
okay.
I was curious.
This is where it becomes female. I have a solution to the problem that would take about 30 seconds, but I don't want to look at it.
So besides the, and we're not going to put in sconces right now that go in the wall. So
okay.
So besides having somebody come and move these outlets wider, is there any kind of wall extender thing?
Can I pull the bed away from the wall by 2 inches, where the mattress is?
But then the bed's just kind of floating in the middle of the room. I feel like.
Well, okay. So here's the thing.
Okay.
There's a system called wire mold, okay?
Ooh.
And so on that outlet that you have now, it's a cap that goes over the top of the existing. You take that receptacle out, you put this over the top. It pulls that outlet away from the wall by about an inch,
okay,
maybe an inch and a half. Then a little channel gets put into that little extension. And you attach it to the wall, and you come over where you need it, and you put another wire mold receptacle right there and stuck on the wall.
Okay.
So you can make it any length you want. You typically have to have an electrician do this.
Okay.
Or that whole power strip idea that you want, or even if you wanted to do a small household extension cord,
mm-hmm,
you could bring that behind your nightstand. You wouldn't see it.
Well, but that's my nightstand is a pedestal. So
oh,
it's
I
like
see.
A pretty...
So there's nowhere to hide it.
Right.
Got
so
it.
I can't be.
Well, if you did this wire mold trick. Then it would mount to the wall. You could put it high, low, wherever you want based on the nightstand.
I think it's pretty impressive that you could answer Sandberg's question, you know, in general, because she has very specific needs.
I do. But wire mold.
I was watching the Hawks game. New husband, different bed.
Was watching on my television last night the Hawks game, and there was Pat, you know, doing the in-between.
Pat Boyle, Comcast Sports.
And I took a marker, and I on the television set, you know, the erasable marker, and I put a big heart around his face as he was doing it. I said, "You are a saint."
Hey now.
Hey now.
The reason why we're having this.
He doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, he's gone.
Because he's got a whole multimedia center on his end, so he needs every outlet over there. Plus, he's got an extension cord, which is driving
773's chiming in. Leave the power strip under the bed.
She doesn't want to see it.
You're not going to. What are you sleeping under the bed?
I know exactly what she's saying. Yeah, I get it. Like, Mary and I have like a connection.
Yeah,
okay,
we're on
Steve?
The same page. You and I.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Since we're getting close, I also want to know: has anyone asked to touch your hair? Because it looked good when we saw it on Monday, but I didn't want to touch you because you were sweaty from that.
Isn't that part of the deal when you do house smarts? You have to run your fingers through.
Oh yeah,
hair?
Right. It's like
I do not. He always
staff
looks
members
good anyway.
Do. Staff members do. Crew members.
Possibly. Right. Yeah. Everyone needs a little.
Hey,
little
Mitch.
Fluff, little
come on over here and touch Lou's hair. Oh, no. He won't work without it.
We all need a little zhuzh.
What's the name of my product again? A wire mold?
Wire mold system.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Whiny staff question?
I will. I haven't fixed the other things that I asked Lou to
fix
first. I defer to Dave.
John DeCoste, whiny staff question.
Good morning, Lou.
Hi, John.
How are you, by the way?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Take your time asking that.
I've got pedestal nightstands. How do I get rid of them?
You pick them up, you open up the window, and you throw them out.
You wrap.
Sweet. I knew you'd help me on that one. Thanks.
You wrap them in cords from a power strip.
I like to wrap the extension cord around the pedestal, the thing, all wind it all up, and then have those look like Christmas lights, and then it's like a decoration.
See, that's why you're Mr. Fixin.
Right.
Mary Vandeville, do you have a whiny staff question about something going on at your home?
Aside from my husband and his trail cam, he's got a trail cam set up now for tracking all of the local wildlife.
Nice.
Pretty hilarious, huh?
Okay. Mary.
Hey, Mary's
husband needs a hobby.
Hey, Mary, it's cheaper than a girlfriend.
Oh, it's
true. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know.
Mary's advocating the girlfriend.
Mary signed him up for Tinder.
How about Dave? Dave, do you have anything?
Oh, is this really me, or is this, is this me asking about the buckthorn?
Well, if you're going to bring it up again.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
It's going to die soon.
I was going to actually let it go.
Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't know if Steve was actually asking me to ask a question.
Are you waiting for the
celebration day today.
Right. Are you waiting for the first frost for it to go down?
Right. All right.
Well, I'm hoping.
Well, we're out of time. Mark Carmen will join us in a little bit, and stand by for that.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
Oh, wait, they already did.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs.
I'm glad you brought that up because we hadn't had a chance, but good for you. And you'll be at Wrigley if people want to come up and ask you questions.
Absolutely. I'll be there. Not in the bear costume.
Yes. Look for Lou Manfredini. Go up, and while he's trying to enjoy the moment with his family, ask him questions about selfish things.
I've got a problem with my grout coming out of my wall. Right. That's fine. I'll help anybody that needs help.
All right, buddy. Have fun on TV. Love you. Bye. Sponsored by American Weather Makers. That's Lou. All right, 6:45. We'll get to traffic here in a second. But speaking of them Hawks won again last night. And Grandpa Hossa, did we figure out how old Hossa is? He's 38, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 38.
Yeah.
You and I were correct on that.
Yeah. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. We're going to give you the Hawks Express, and you know how this rolls. When the Hawks lose, and apparently they're not going to lose again. What did I say? I said 82-0.
Well, you scale that back.
Yeah, to 78-3-1. Yeah. So they're only 70 wins away.
Yeah, their magic number.
Yeah, it'd be 70 to get to 70. Right. Well, it'd be 71.
Hossa's birthday, but he'll be 38 on his birthday in January, so he's 37.
All right, so 71 more wins, and they achieve what I said they would achieve. 78-3-1.
Right, which is doable. It's totally doable.
You know what's not doable right now? The Hawks Express.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
108 years of patience and support from the fans, and I'm personally grateful for that, and especially the last 5 years. We know we put you guys through a lot. we had a vision in our head of how this thing could come together with young players and then veterans and incredible support from everyone involved. You know, fans just believed, and we're coming home to Chicago, baby. Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Mark Carmen is somewhere between Cleveland and Grand Park. I mean, do we know, Mark? Did you make it back? Are you back from Cleveland?
I did, Steve. I think, I don't know if you can hear it, but high above me, Steve, there is a significant helicopter. Can you hear that little sounding of? No, you can't. Okay, no. Well, that's too bad.
You keep talking.
Steve, ow.
That's it.
All right.
Steve, I got breaking news down here. The trolleys are here. The trolleys are ready to go. The trolleys are in the media parking lot. The media, namely myself, is being denied parking in that lot. You are coming to Wrigley Field. I do suggest, that has been suggested, I think, a couple times perhaps this morning and over the last 24 hours. Get here early because the normal parking situation is not what it would be. Many streets are blocked off. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not surprised by that, but we're not going to do like 4-hour reports of where the media is parking and getting on trolleys, are we?
I hope not.
So do I. You seem to be in charge of that. I mean, not that the public isn't fascinated by how the media is taken care of, but, you know, I mean, if we could just expand the coverage to the rest of it and find some other stories, that'd be great, too.
Well, hold on a second. I got chopper sounds for you. I started with that.
Yeah, that was great.
And there's a lot of people down here. I see a Toronto bread truck that's coming through right now at Grace and Clark.
So basically, in summary, you got nothing. It's 6:45 in the morning. Make it 6:54. You got nothing right now.
Well, there's a W flag hanging on
Okay. That's Mark Carmen live from Wrigley.
I did have a question for him. Where did he park? He kind of left us hanging.
You know what, though?
It was the most exciting part of the report.
Yeah.
Did you find a parking space?
I did. Thank you for your concern. I'm on Grace, and you do not need a permit for this fine street. And, again, there's some beautiful three flats here, Steve, that have gone up in value.
Isn't Grace like 2 blocks from Wrigley? 3 blocks, maybe?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. How did you do it? How are you even alive?
Listen, there's nothing tougher than...
Okay.
Actually, wasn't it a great day for him to drive his own trolley?
It really would be. That's the deal. You know what, John? You've hit on it. If media is concerned about their ability to be taken care of on a crazy day like this with no time to plan for it, BYOT, bring your own trolley.
You always say it, Steve. Biot.
That's what I say.
Biot.
It's Friday, man. Bring your own trolley. Is Carmen still on the phone?
He does have a good point, though. Take public transportation. It's going to be a mess.
Andre claimed you made a good point. I didn't hear it. Do you have any other good points?
Well, I was thinking about going undercover sneak on one of the trolleys. Would you bail me out if I got arrested, Steve?
Tell you what, if you give me a report that's arable next time you're on, I'll bail you out for sure.
Is the media allowed on the trolleys with the players?
No.
No. Okay. Didn't think so.
That's why I would be risking getting arrested, Mary. But maybe I could just act like I'm someone.
Yes. I can tell you this. The 2 million people that are coming to the city today are mostly concerned about where the media is going to be riding. That's the number one reason they're coming downtown.
You know, Steve, I don't know how many people are down here that can give you an eyewitness account of the trolley.
Well, if you find one, let me know. I mean, if you find one that can actually give me a report, let me know.
Okay. I mean, I saw the trolleys. That's on record.
Okay. It's 6:56. What are we doing? We're taking a break? Taking a break, come back? More of the Steve Cochran Show in a second. And I'm sorry Mark Carmen couldn't be with us this morning, but maybe he will later. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
All right, 7:09. Hopefully you caught Dave Ennett's call of last weekend's Northwestern Ohio State game where the Cats were not only more than competitive, they blew the line away. And actually, Dave, every time I turn it back on, I go, because I was running around. You know, catch 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. I go, they're going to pull this off, man. They're going to get it done.
Yeah, they're right there.
So Coach Fitz joins us now. Coach, I know you hate losing, but the boys gave him a run, didn't they?
Well, guys play with great effort, but that's not why we play the game. You play to win, and, disappointed in the way the game turned out, but the guys responded great this week, and a huge game here tomorrow morning against a Badger team that's playing very, very well.
They've got a tight end named Troy Fumagalli. He's a kid that grew up in my neighborhood. Nice family. But being a Northwestern guy, I'm fully endorsing you flattening Troy Fumagalli this weekend and holding him to no receptions.
Well, I hope they egg your house. He's a great kid.
Wait, hold on. I'm just supporting you.
Yeah, but, it's like me being from the South Side and would be a Cub hater or vice versa. You know, you don't need to be doing that now. Come on. I mean, he's a great kid and he's a terrific football player.
All right, so I hope Troy gets 12 against you. Is that what you want to hear?
That's fine, but as long as the Cats win, that's all that matters.
Okay, so, there you go. So Troy Fumagalli gets 12 receptions in 1,000 yards, but the Cats win by one. Then we're fine.
Well, that's pretty unrealistic, Steve, but that's okay. whatever trolley's going around the studio right now is good.
Our conversation with Coach Fitz is sponsored
not
by...
Not a conversation. He's lecturing me.
Okay, well, that's true.
Yes,
this lecture from
Coach
Fitz is sponsored by the Fields Auto Group. What have you told your team, Pat, about this game, the significance of your final four games? You're done with your crossover games now against teams from the East, and now you've got four straight against the Big Ten West.
Well, we have the goals that we set before the season in front of us, and this game basically is a playoff game, so to speak, for both teams. You know, whichever team ends up being successful kind of goes into the front seat of the Big Ten West car, so to speak. You're not driving it, but you're in the front seat, and the team that ends up on the short end, obviously, pretty much out of the race for the Big Ten West. So from a significant standpoint, yeah, it's a huge game for both of us. From a respect level, this is a big rivalry game for the two programs. I mean, these games, you call them, Dave, they've been unbelievable. And, this is going to be a heck of a battle tomorrow. And, our guys understand the significance, but more importantly, I think they understand the challenge. Wisconsin's playing very, very well. Played one of the toughest schedules in the country, and they're just really impressive to watch on video. So need to bring our best game tomorrow, and need to have great fan support. It's one of those that we've played some challenging road games, and we've been at home and had some great support, and tomorrow's going to be equally important.
Steve, the Wisconsin program obviously has been terrific. Barry Alvarez went in there in the early 90s.
Yep.
But the Badgers have not won in Evanston since 1999. Now, they didn't play for a few years. Now they play every year because they're in the same division. But Northwestern's beaten them the last 2 years, once here, once there.
Right.
But going back over the last, I believe I got this right, the last 31 years, Northwestern leads in this series 13-12. They've had the better of Wisconsin over that stretch. But most of the games have been really tough, competitive games. Now you're playing the number 8 team in the country. What are your big concerns about Wisconsin coming in?
Well, their balance offensively, their ability to, run the football and then, throw the ball with great play action pass. Coach Chris does a great job with their offense, but they've really been spectacular defensively. They're the only team in the Big Ten that runs a 3-4 defense, so 3 down linemen, 4 linebackers. They're very aggressive in what they do and how they do things. They put a lot of pressure on you schematically. And, for us, it's one of those situations that we've kind of been in before offensively. Even a week ago, we played a very talented team. We moved the ball quite well between the 20s, and then we needed to finish 2 drives with touchdowns instead of field goals, and that was the difference in the game. So, my hope is the great week that we've had, we take with us to tomorrow morning. And then, this is going to be a battle. This isn't going to be,
I don't know if we're a artist anyways as a team. I mean, this isn't going to be a Picasso. This is going to be one of those Big Ten. Every inch is going to be a challenge to get to, in the game, and hopefully, you know, we find a way to get that one more point come around 2:30, 3 o'clock on tomorrow afternoon.
Seems like about 10 minutes ago, national media was saying, the Big Ten. Is there a better conference than the Big Ten anywhere in football?
You know, I think that's great for fans to discuss. I don't know. I mean, I don't see everybody else, you know. In my role, you're in such a bunker, you know, looking not only at what you're doing, your upcoming opponent, but just kind of trends to make sure you're up to speed on what's going on with who you're going to be playing. And then at the end of the year, I think you kind of come out of that bunker and you look up and you're like, all right, where are we at? Where are we at individually as a team, and where is the conference at? But it's always great to have positive things said about your team and positive things said about your conference. I know this. Anybody can win on any given Saturday in the Big Ten. The competitive nature of our conference with the great coaches and the great players is a lot of fun to watch. And I think this next month is going to be just a great, great month of college football.
The first college football playoff rankings came out this week.
Yeah.
And five of the top 10 teams are from the Big Ten.
There you go. Yeah. Not just a pretty face, Coach. I know what I'm talking about.
Top 12, actually. Five of the top 12.
Boy, I set him up there, and he didn't take the bait that
no,
time.
He
did
didn't.
You notice?
He didn't.
He's cagey, that fits. Hey, Coach, anything for the Cubs that you'd like to say?
Well, congratulations. Absolutely spectacular to watch. You know, just watch the whole thing unfold. And I got a chance to meet, you know, Coach Madden before a game that I was at this year. And then just watch the way that he led and managed, you know, a very talented but young group. You know, as someone that, you know, looks up to him as a role model, very inspirational. And then to watch the way that that team responded the entire playoffs with the expectations, you know, up they're down 3-1 in the World Series. I mean, that's pretty amazing to see the way that those guys persevered. And then to be up in the Game 7 and not have it go their way and find a way to win. That's why they're champions. And as a Chicagoan, it's just spectacular to see the Cubs have success. I remember going home after school as a kid, listening to Harry Carey do the games, and I saw that Budweiser video with
Harry.
Yeah,
something, wasn't it?
Game. Wow. I mean, that was. I got a little emotional, to be quite
no
honest.
Doubt.
That was really, really spectacular. And you know, Dave knows I'm a Southside guy, and you know, now that it's over, I'm the only thing left in my life is a Red Line World Series, and I'm looking forward to that. Just really, really fired up for the Cubs organization, the Ricketts family, and everybody involved. It's spectacular for our city, and fired up for them. So congratulations. Enjoy today. I think this will be something that the players and the organization will never forget, to see the support of the best sports city in the world come out and support them in the celebration today.
Yep, regardless of what happens, today is going to be a memory for everybody forever. Troy Fumagalli and his Wisconsin Badgers. Against the Northwestern Wildcats. Kickoff tomorrow, Dave, when?
It's at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Coach, good luck, man.
I appreciate it. Go Cats.
All right, there you go.
Talk a riddle, yeah, come on. Get your Fat Hawk tickets, yeah. Talk a riddle, yeah, come on. Get your Fat Hawk tickets, yeah.
Pair of tickets to see the Hawks in Dallas Sunday night. And you're entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons warning to all females, Patrick Sharp is not scheduled to play on Sunday night because he injured his... Not the face!
It's not his face.
Poor, it's a lower body.
Poor thing.
Is that it for Sharpie, a lower body? I know a lot of women are concerned about that part of him,
yeah,
as well. Sharpie is dinged up right now. But
he's
I'll tell you, even... Even a ding Sharpie is adorable.
He's a good-looking man.
We've hidden a puck again somewhere in this city. I bet you think you got some Cubs angle to this today, don't you? Everybody thinking, oh, yeah, I'm sure you did a Cubs thing because that's cute. But you don't know that. Don't get cocky. First correct caller who can ascertain from the riddle where the puck is going to be a big winner. John DeCoste is here. He writes these riddles. How's the riddle business these days?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah?
I'm booked out through 2018.
Really? So yeah. The riddle business has never been hotter.
Riddle, it's the new thing.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you. All right, so you're going to give us the riddle.
Yes.
First correct caller with the answer wins the tickets from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. 312-981-7200 is the number. For those of you who are calling now, I'm not quite sure how you'd have the answer yet since we haven't given the riddle. But if you're that kind of psychic, stick on the line. Here's the riddle.
And let me warn you, these are very difficult.
Okay.
I look really good for 102. Wiggum's Wales called it home for 2 years, just a few. In 1927, I took the name that would suit, built on double and spear, and of course, Juicy Fruit.
Okay.
It's Dave Innitt.
Cute.
No, it's not Dave Innitt.
Well, he said he's 102.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
You guys got it? Mm-hmm. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Okay, wait.
I just heard the last line.
Do it again, John. Yeah, I think I know.
Yeah, you want to run it by us one more time?
Sure. I look really good for 102. Wiggum's Wales called it home for 2 years, just a few. In 1927, I took the name that would suit, built on double and spear, and of course, Juicy Fruit.
All right, first correct caller with the answer to that, you're going to win those tickets. Speaking of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, and a Hawks win last night, here's your Hawks Express.
Chicago Blackhawks go for four straight wins and the Central Division lead tonight as they get their first look at the Colorado Avalanche. Francois Beauchemin there, put it up the boards. Key took it back left point, fired! Save, rebound, score! In front of the net, Jonathan Toews had to muscle his way free from one of the Avalanche defenders. Got his stick in position and there was the rebound. The captain put her home. It's 1-0 Hawks. Pass here's Hossa breaking in the net. Should he score? Hossa! Here's the pass from Keith to Hossa into the end zone, left circle. She just scores! Marian Hossa with his second of the night. Put it into the top right corner and pass Varlamov. 55 seconds into the third period. It's 3-0 Hawks. Kane takes it away at center ice, crossing the half line down the right wing. Put it in front. Panarin, she just scores! Artemi Panarin. From a perfect backhanded feed through the crease, slapped it in behind Varlamov. It's 4-0 Hawks. Barry spins it around with three to Aginla. Shot it ahead into the Hawks zone with 2-1. Corey Crawford has pitched another shutout, stopping all 38 Avalanche shots here tonight.
Hawks win, and you get more Hawks this weekend. Home and home with Dallas there tomorrow. And here on Sunday night, let's see, it's line five, yes? Let's go there now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing fine. John, give him the riddle one more time, if you would.
Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead, turn your mic on.
I look really good for 102. Uh-huh. Wiggum's Wales called it home for 2 years, just a few.
Okay.
In 1927, I took the name that would suit, built on double and spear, and, of course, Juicy Fruit.
Like I said, Michael, we're not doing some lame tie to the Cubs today just because it would make sense. What's the answer?
It's beautiful Wrigley Field.
All right, maybe we're doing a lame tie to the Cubs today just because it made sense. Michael, you got the Hawks tickets, and you're qualified for season tickets for 2017-2018. How about that?
That sounds awesome.
All right, man. Congratulations. Thanks for listening. Hold the line. 728, Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water connects us, brings us all Cubs coverage all morning long. When Mark Carmen was on an hour and a half ago, I said, when you come up with some content, let me know. Well, it's been an hour and a half. Does he have no content?
Maybe nobody's arrived yet.
Oh, he's apparently on a rooftop now.
Oh,
now, he's covering something. He's not going to jump, right? Okay, I'm waiting to hear. It's 728. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
By the way, even for a White Sox fan, it's a pretty big deal. Because they, so. Because the Cubs have been waiting like 108 years. I was watching something on television. They explained that the last time the Cubs had won, Thomas Edison was alive. And they hadn't invented sliced bread yet. So, you know the expression, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread? This is actually, for Cubs fans, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I want to congratulate the Chicago Cubs.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
Cubs coverage brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water connects us. Steve Cochran Show, number 770. at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Text and calls 312-981-7200. Mark Carmen is at Wrigley. Where are you now?
Well, I was at a rooftop, Steve, and I saw the scoreboard light up with the 2016 World Series champions, but I'm now back down on the street. Sheridan and Dakin, I've run into Alvin, who flew in from Orlando last night, Steve. Would you like to talk to Alvin, who's sure. actually gotten on a plane to be at the plane?
Sure,
here, hang
absolutely.
On, here he is. Here's Alvin.
Alvin, good morning.
Hello.
How are you, Alvin?
Hey. Oh, my God. I mean, this is, like I said, everybody's been waiting this for the whole entire life,
sure.
and I'm part of it, and I could have missed it, dude. I mean, this is the most amazing thing that ever happened in my life.
Are you from Chicago? Why are you such a big Cubs fan?
Yeah, I was born in Chicago, but I was raised in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And I came back in 85, but I was always following the Cubs since the 70s, since I was like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And there was I start following the Cubs when they have a shortstop from Puerto Rico called Ivan De Jesus. And they have Jerry Morales playing
sure.
center field.
Sure.
And they have Willie Hernandez as a reliever. And they have a guy from Venezuela called Manny Trillo playing second baseman. So that's when I started following the Cubs. Since I was born in Chicago. So I took it from there. I mean, I never stopped. I mean, it's been painful, but, you know, it's great now.
It's great now. It's right. Now, where were you?
Yes,
where were you when they got the last out? And who'd you think of when they got the last out?
Not when they got the last out. When they tied the game, I say this is just another step in the heart, bro. I mean, it's just that's what they say. You know, before you win it, we're gonna hit you one more time.
Yeah, well, that's a Cubs fan's life.
It was crazy, you know. But the last out, I mean, it was just amazing, dude. That's it. We did it.
Yeah, congratulations. What do you do in Orlando?
All right, man. I'm sorry.
What do you do in Orlando?
I drive a truck.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here, man. Glad you got here safe. Have a great time today.
All right, thank you.
Well, there you go. That's another good story right there. Right?
Awesome story.
Hey, Steve.
It's nice that you're making friends, Mark.
I'm doing the best I can. I also have an update on the L. There are two of them standing side by side, not moving. I believe they're heading north, or actually I think they're heading south. They're heading south. There was a purple line heading south that went through. So the L is backed up, Steve.
All right, well, thank you for that. Make you junior traffic reporter. All right, hold on, man. Thanks. Again, Wintrust, home of Cubs, checking Sloan Water Conexus, bringing you Cubs and parade coverage all morning. And John DeCosta is here. John, once all of the excitement dies down and we go forward, we're going to have something to look forward to. And the only thing I can think of that we have to look forward to, of course, would be New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve and another couple of Steve Cochran shows. The tour this year will take us to two separate stops.
Yeah, how great is that? I can't wait this year. This year, a 1 o'clock show is at the Rao Theater in Crystal Lake. Where
lovely
we've been
people
the last,
at Crystal yes. Lake. Yeah, we've been at the Rao for, I don't know, 5 years longer.
Yeah, and that's for people who can't stay up past brunch.
Right.
That's at 1 o'clock.
The original concept, people that can't stay up till midnight. This is people who can't stay up past brunch.
Right.
So it's 1 o'clock show. Who's on the bill?
That will be Pat McGann from the David Letterman Show.
Very funny.
We've used him before, so this is wonderful. And you can go to rousecenter.org.
Well, it's just Pat, or are we doing that show as well?
No, neither one of us. It's just Pat. He's doing the whole thing.
It's not true.
We can't go
it's
to
It's you
two.
And me and Pat and who?
Tim Banker.
There you go.
We have our band.
So it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
That's at the Rao One. How do we get tickets?
1 o'clock. You can go to rousecenter.org, or you can call the box office directly at 815-356-9212.
All right, so then after that show, we're going to have a full wardrobe change.
Right, take the trolley.
Take the trolley to?
To the Tivoli Theater in downtown Downers Grove.
The beautiful Tivoli Theater.
Can we get a
classic
ride?
Classic theater.
On the trolley with
no,
you guys?
Okay. No.
Just curious.
No rides on the trolley. And that show is going to be early, too. This is for
6
people
o'clock.
That can't stay awake until 10.
Correct.
Yes. Because we're going to do a 6 o'clock show, and you're going to be out the door and headed home or wherever by 8:15.
It's going to be so nice. Downtown, and the Tivoli, as you said, is absolutely gorgeous.
Who's on that show?
That one is Uncle Larry Reeb, very good Chicago, and, of course, our very own Patty Vasquez.
And you and me.
And you and I, and Tim Baker again.
There you go. So 1 o'clock at Crystal Lake, 6 o'clock in Downers Grove. Two great options for you for New Year's Eve. How do I get tickets?
Tickets for that one at the Tivoli. Go to classiccinemas.com, and you just press on the link for Eventbrite and purchase your tickets online. And that'll be a lot. And, of course, this is brought to you by Iceman production.
That's exactly right. And don't forget about A Day and The Cause, because I'm sure he'll have some sort of videos leading up to New Year's Eve, which you haven't seen yet.
That's true.
Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
I was thinking of Demps after that game-tying home run. And wondering if the beer man was close enough to ease his pain. Ryan Dempster joins us now. And like all Cubs in the long history of this team, congratulations to you as well.
No, thank you very much. Wow, what a ride for the ages there. Quite the whole playoff thing. And you were right. I was looking for the beer guy too.
So when that ball goes out, and it got out in a hurry, and now you got yourself a 6-6 tie, every Cub fan, this is not anybody that suited up like you did, not played at the highest level. Every Cub fan went, here we go. Here we go. We had it, we lost it, and now we're going to lose it. Maybe you only thought that for a minute, but how could you not after 108 years? And that's what made the 10th inning so amazing, the rain delay so amazing. I'm telling you, Demps, it's like God finally got to him on the to-do list.
Right? He made him work for it, though. You know, that was the thing. I think it was just, you know, in that moment, especially it was winning 5-1, then all of a sudden it's 5-3, and then, okay, you know, you get another run back. Rossi hits the homer to get another run back, and you start to feel like this is really happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, this home run by a guy who, you know, doesn't hit a lot of home runs off of a guy that doesn't give up any home runs. Just all of it was really weird. And then once it was 6-6, our section was just full of Cubs fans. I had Kerry Wood right behind me. I had Ryan Sandberg to my right. Families and all kinds of stuff. And surprisingly enough, everybody was still pretty positive. I mean, yeah, definitely the deflated feeling, but it only lasted a moment. It was just, it was on to the next pitch. And the next thing you know, we just kind of try to stay positive and everybody was just clapping. And then, you know, obviously the guys have a go have a meeting and kind of just come out of the gates firing right after they took the tarp off. And it was amazing, man. It was so incredible that it finally happened. And, you know, I think for these guys, all the expectations to fulfill those is just something that they should be so proud of.
A lot of credits being given to Jason Hayward for that meeting and getting everybody together. You ever been involved in something like that in the clubhouse where you then went out and saw immediate results from whether it was a pep talk or a team meeting or something like that?
Yeah, along the lines, for sure. That's there's been quite a few of those cases where, you know, in the moment when the right guy calls it and the right opportunity arises and says the right thing, guys do respond from that. Especially, you know, that's the thing too. It's like the parent or the teacher who always is yelling at you and you don't really respond. But when they don't ever say much and then they finally say something, you're like, oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And I think I remember in 2013 in the World Series when David Ortiz called a meeting in the dugout. He was just like, guys, hey, we're better than this. We're down 2-1 of the Cardinals in the series. We were losing that game 4, and he just was like, we're trying to do too much. We're trying to, you know, be somebody we're not. Let's just keep being who we were all year, and that'll be good enough. And I think that's kind of what Jason's message was, hey, we're the best team all year. Let's go out there and do what we need to do. And then it happens. And I think it couldn't have happened to a better guy who'd been through a tough year, you know, offensively, didn't do what he was wanting to do. And he kind of got a little bit of a hard time for it, obviously, because of the huge contract. And when you sign people to a huge contract for that, it's not because of the numbers you put up. I mean, they help, trust me, but it's the whole package. And once again, he proved why he's the whole package, because he went out and did something like that and just really led the guys, you know, to a victory in a game 7.
What does he do now, Demps? Does he spend the off season just trying to kind of get his swing figured out and get back to the guy he has been offensively up until this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what happens is throughout the course of a year, I've been there. When you struggle from the beginning and then you're trying to do too much and then you're trying to get it back and then how do I change things? And I think, you know, right now he just enjoys this time, but he's a guy that everybody knows this. He works extremely hard and He's a prideful guy, and he's not going to want to have a year like that again, and he's going to go put in the work he needs to put in order to go out there and have a better season offensively. But and he fixed it towards down the stretch. He, you know, I felt so bad for him so many times where, you know, when you are struggling like that, and then he squares a ball up and he gets a line drive right at somebody, crushes a ball, goes right to the wall. He started to put together some real good at-bats in the playoffs, and, you know, it just wasn't his year for putting up a huge number offensively, but it was his year because the Chicago Cubs won a World Series, and if you'd ask him, I think that's all that really matters. And so far in his tenure with the Chicago Cubs, he's 1-for-1 in that happening.
We will have plenty of time to dissect 2017, but a couple of the things that really stood out about this year, and I mean, for most people, if you stop down long enough, this wouldn't surprise you, but there's a tremendous amount of people who left their homes at midnight or whatever time it was, and if not at midnight, they certainly did it yesterday, and they went to cemeteries. They went to cemeteries all over the place with a hat or a glove or a note or some piece of memorabilia that was special to them and whoever they lost who was a Cubs fan. But I tell you, Demps, one story that really got to me is a guy named Wayne Williams. His dad was a Navy vet, died of cancer in 1980. He was 53. His son, Wayne Williams, lives in Florida now. He drove to Greenwood Forest Lawn Cemetery outside of Indianapolis, I should say, where his father is buried to listen to the Cubs game on the radio with his dad.
Yeah, I saw that story, and I you're talking about right now. I'm sitting here, I got chills.
Get choked up, man.
Right? What an incredible thing to do, you know, to hold that promise true with your father who passed away, and to know that day was going to happen, and then to go live it all out. I can imagine what an emotional day that was for him, and then the victory and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it just shows you when we all rally together as one big unit, as Cubs fans all over the world, and the ones that are even buried down in the ground that, you know, were huge Cubs fans and laid it out for the generations after them. You know, we bonded together, and a special moment like that deserves that attention because it's just an incredible story. And once again, shows you how many Cubs fans there are out there, the power of being a Cubs fan. And today, you know, we get to go out there and ride around in a parade, and everybody gets to be in love with that moment and enjoy this moment that their team is the one celebrating the World Series trophy and raising it above their heads. Pretty awesome.
You're a lucky guy, man. You picked a pretty good career for yourself. This whole baseball thing worked out okay for you.
I know I have to pinch myself sometimes. I really am. I'm really, really lucky and really, really fortunate. Not a day goes by that I don't feel, you know, honored and humbled to have the job that I have, the career, you know, while I was playing to be able to do this and win a World Series, and now in the front office here with the Cubs and back with the organization and to be able to do this as a player now. I'm so excited to get on these buses and trolleys later and drive down Addison and, you know, along Lakeshore and down and to this rally is just going to be just something that, as a player, I dreamt about all the time. I always imagined it was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen, you know, I know I'm not a player anymore, but it sure is special to be around it all and to watch these guys. They've earned every bit of this moment to see Rizzo coming off the plane with the trophy and them carrying David Ross off on their shoulder.
Yeah, how about that?
Special moments is just really, really phenomenal to be so close and near to it, and it's going to be a great thing today.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and fans will get to see you on the parade route as well and at the rally. Congrats again, man. Enjoy every bit of it, and we will talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys. It's been an absolute great year, too, with you guys on the air all year and having some fun talking to Cubs and to see it all come to fruition. Thanks so much for all the positive memories.
Oh, we're going
to
be dragging you back, and you're always welcome on the Steve Cochran Show. And if you need money, let Dave know.
Yeah, I'm happy to help.
Yeah. All right, man. Hold on. Listen up, kids. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. If you want to look 10 or 15 years younger, pardon me. All right, Dave, stand by. I may have to go to the bullpen.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Live from the best office on the planet, Michigan Avenue, Showcase Studios, Allstate Showcase Studio. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel standing by. This is a good news day in Chicago, Mayor. Where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going to be on the trolley. I'm going to Wrigley Field in a little while. Go to have breakfast over with the management team. Get on the trolley with my family and then go on stage.
It's going to be a fun day.
Just, you know, just sit there and watch it all happen.
Yeah, this is going to be a very fun day, right? I mean, that's the word, fun.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're going to celebrate a victory. We're going to celebrate a team. We're going to celebrate people's love of a game. And we're going to celebrate Chicago's, you know, here's the thing. The Chicago Sox have won. Chicago Cubs have won. Chicago Bulls have won. Chicago Blackhawks have won. Chicago Bears have won. If I'm not mistaken, Chicago Kings has also won. Every one of our teams have won their national championship.
Well, then really, you know, Mayor Emanuel, it really comes down to Dave Enick getting Northwestern over the hump for a national title. I mean, Mayor Emanuel is demanding it.
I'm sure that's next on the agenda, right, Mayor?
Yeah, I want it now. Otherwise, no garbage service. That's it. we'll have the inspectors over there. That's it.
You know, I was at an event last
what are you guys doing this morning.
We're great. I was at an event last night, and I was talking to some folks there, and I said, look, this election Tuesday is so important, and it's been so draining for a year and a half. This is more than just a Cubs story. This is the perfect antidote to give us a break for a few hours. I mean, it's just going to be great. We can take our mind off the other nonsense.
Well, it does actually. I mean, I'm going to make this point again. There's a whole big debate going on. Yes, the core sense of the debate, but also it's not just the core sense. You have players from all parts of the United States, different backgrounds, from all parts of the America.
Right.
Different religions, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different languages. And they came together not just for the love of sport, but working as a team. And it's not an accident. It's a key speech in the ninth inning, and the rain got out, was about relying on each other as a team. Working together, and that, you know, it's not one player, it's not one star. And I think we all have to remember, I mean, we're one city. And when another city's not, you know, doing its best as can, we all work together. And that's also true of the country. And so it's a great uplifting anecdote to a dark and coarse campaign, but it's also, there's a message beyond that about how you succeed and win.
Right.
And I really do think that there's a value there.
I don't disagree at all. And I was thinking last night, you know, if Trump had been president, you know, with his wall, we'd only had half a team. We wouldn't have been able to get half of these guys even into play.
Well, since we're going to be more explicit and oblique, yeah, exactly. You have people. You have, but there is a value here. Really,
right.
You have people that are contributing to the greatness of a team. And we, you know, look, next year is kind of important for my family. My grandfather, it will be the 100-year anniversary my grandfather came to this country from Eastern Europe.
Wow.
13 years old, by himself, not a word of English. Settled on the west side of Chicago with a third cousin he never knew. His grandson is the mayor of that city. This is the greatest city in the greatest country because he came for a dream and opportunity. And he worked hard. And he instilled that values in his children and then his grandchildren. He lived with us when I was growing up. That is... The fact is that people are coming here. They're coming for that same dream, that same possibility. And we need to remember it keeps the dream fresh and alive.
Yeah, and the sun comes up in the east. It's not all dark storm clouds. Everybody's not out to kill you and kill your neighbor. This country provides opportunity. No. The city provides opportunity. You know, we are stronger together, and that's why we got to start approaching things.
But you work hard, and you got to also, you know, you work hard. The opportunity to raise the good values of respect for yourself, respect for others back there. And I really do think it's a great thing to celebrate because every time, like that, the series was, you know, reflected this season. Every time they were down, they dug a little deeper, found another battery pack, and charged themselves up.
Right.
And they charged up. And you can just love it for the love of just winning and love it for also for other means. I will say this. I want to thank our officers for doing throughout the...
No kidding. On no notice, busting their butts to, you know, in the city streets and sand, setting up these barricades. People have to understand how hard the city worked last night to get this together.
Yeah, the city, I mean, you have city employees, they always get to ride, whatever. Our police officers, our firefighters, our workers in streets and sanitation worked all night so all of us could have a good time. Our fans had a respectful and responsible celebration.
Yep.
We didn't have any... burning of paraphernalia, you know, got hurt. It was done the right way. And that is also a point there for everybody. And we're going to celebrate as one city. And I want that feeling and that energy to drive us forward as we tackle both these opportunities that are here in this great city, but also deal with some of our challenges to make them opportunities for everybody.
The city deserves the great publicity it's getting.
Steve, it's time that you take a swim in the new Blue River we just built. Okay? I mean, I think you're feeling so much love, brother.
That's it, man. It's
I know you got to work on that backstroke. I got a river blue for you.
City pride. The river's blue just for me. So if you're standing on the Chicago River Bridge and you see me cutting the middle lane, that's me, baby, on my back.
If we see a double flip, half turn, perfect stroke, like a 9-8, we'll be holding cars up on the left side of the bank and actually look it up, and we'll be judging your dive, okay?
I will say this. There is a wake warning.
I'll see you there at 12. What's that?
I will say this for boaters. There is a wake warning once I hit the water.
Now we have a problem. I'm sure there's somebody at the Army Corps. Listen, we don't want to do that because we're waiting for the kayakers.
Listen.
So there's some government regulation somewhere we're screwing around. But what's life living for if you can't?
Come on. Come on. Lighten up. Lighten up, people. It's Cubs Day. It's City Day. It's Chicago Day. Listen, go have a great time, Mayor. I always appreciate your time.
All right.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
What do you think of my timing there, Dean?
Somebody pumped the funny gas into the Tribune Tower today.
Yeah, my timing is good, Dean.
You're excellent. What?
Smooth.
What?
Smooth.
Smooth. Mayor was funny, too.
Yeah, Mayor Emanuel is very good when you give him the opportunity to break out of mayor mode, which I happily do.
It's very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
Can't wait for him to get on stage and to hear the uproarious reception that politicians always get when they show up at these events.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, you could get a kindly grandmother to be, say, the next president of the United States. She might even get booed.
She might even get booed. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
All right. Can we run through a couple of movies here?
Yeah, real quick. A really good weekend for movies, actually. Hacksaw Ridge is this World War II drama directed by Mel Gibson, starring Andrew Garfield as soldier, conscientious objector during World War II because of his religious beliefs,
right?
Wouldn't carry a
true
rifle.
Story, right?
True story. Wound up saving over 70 of his fellow soldiers during one of the bloodiest battles during the war. It's an amazing, moving story. It's extremely graphic. It's very much like Saving Private Ryan. So know that going in, but definitely worth seeing. This is a really good movie. Dean's List A on this one. There's a new Marvel comic hero movie out this week, Doctor Strange, not based on Steve's life this time. This is an actual Marvel comic hero. Benedict Cumberbatch plays this former surgeon in a car accident, loses the ability to use his hands. Trying to regain it, actually turns to mystic techniques to try to regain his abilities again, and winds up becoming unbelievable magician with kind of superpowers. Steve, when you can save the world pulling a rabbit out of a hat, that says something. I don't care what anybody says.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you've done it before, and you never ask for any credit because of it. I mean, you just did it because you're a good person.
I pull a rabbit out of my hat most every morning, one way or the other. This is the movie is a little bit excessive. The special effects are cool, but they are relentless, and there is so much detail in this movie. It's good, but it gets a little cumbersome. I wound up giving this one a Dean's List B-. And for the kids this week, there is a lovely little movie that's called Trolls, based on the little troll dolls, remember, from back in the day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice movie.
Does Bill Leff have those?
Probably. Bill Leff has everything.
He's the world's largest toy collector.
When you just say back in the day, you can just assume that Bill Leff has whatever it is that you're talking about. Nice movie, nice message about finding true happiness. Tons of great music. This is really more a musical animated film than anything else. Justin Timberlake is one of the voices. Anna Kendrick, James Corden, Gwen Stefani. The list goes on and on. Really nice voice cast. Nice movie, and I think little kids will like it better than some of the older kids, but it's still good. Dean's List B on that one.
Star Plaza not closing.
Yeah, they sent out a release yesterday that they decided not to close the theater. They are going to rebuild the whole complex out there, but the original plan was to not rebuild the theater there. And they got so much response from people who were sad to hear that news that the owners rethought the whole thing, and the theater will be coming back when the new complex opens.
That's great.
Opens
that's
there
great.
As well.
I think it's important to have that theater there.
It's a good. It's it is important now because you know you think about Northwest Indiana, South Side of Chicago. There really are not that many concert venues, so this was an important one, and I'm also glad to hear that it's still.
And the public needs to support it. So you wanted them not to close it? They're not going to close it?
I would love to see a Steve Cochran comedy show there, maybe as its inaugural.
That'd be a good idea.
When they reopen it, the new venue. Steve Cochran premieres.
I haven't been there since I was with the Ohio Players. Fire! Huh. I wrote the huh part.
Nobody wore those one-piece bell-bottom
suits. The way you
like
walk and talk really... I forgot the rest of the words.
But he had a fro quite like Steve back in the
fire.
Day.
Yeah, remember my album, Honey?
That Bobby Goldsboro?
Different version. And you're not down here with the Blue River today.
I am not with the any of the parade and rally coverage. I have to go to New York today. So when our little TV show ends here today, I have to dash out to the airport where I'm going to be talking tomorrow with Eddie Redmayne. And the cast of his new movie, that this Harry Potter prequel, I'll see tonight and talk to the stars tomorrow. Fantastic Beasts. So we'll have that for you coming up soon. But,
and are you on Sunday?
I am on Sunday. I'll be out at Tree Time with lots of big stars. We've got a lot of musical performers this year, a lot of live performances.
Cool. And? And?
Who else is going to be there?
Your mom?
Oh, yeah. My mom is going to be there. Yeah, my 93-year-old mom yesterday, who, by the way, she tried to back out of it yesterday.
Oh, come on.
She tries to back out of it yesterday. Yeah, I don't know. I never have anything to say. It's like, you never stop talking. What are you talking about? She wants to be begged. She'll be there.
That's true.
She'll be there on Sunday, and Steve Bartman. I'm just trying to throw in some Cubs content.
Nicely done by you. Yeah. Very impressive. All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a good weekend.
8:32, the Steve Cochran Show. When we come back, we'll get you the big story. And Bill Rancic. Bill Rancic's got a book out. Interesting twist, too. We'll talk about that coming up with our friend Bill. Oh, look. He looks a lot like that guy. He literally is just at the window right now. Bill in here in just a second on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
Well, Stevie Wonder and Bill Rancic on horns. A lot of people don't know that Bill Rancic played that in the original version of Sir Duke. Good to see you, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Congratulations on the book. Before we get to that, how's Duke? How's Juliana?
They are great. They're excited to celebrate the Cubs' victory today. And I was telling you earlier, I've got my locker room Cubs hat on. And my wife was battling it out at the store when they brought a box out of these hats, and it was pandemonium.
I can't picture, and you're going to laugh when I say this, but I can't picture Juliana rumbling with folks.
Oh, she's scrappy. Yeah, she's from Naples, Italy, buddy.
So oh, yeah, the old school.
They're tough.
Yeah, old school.
Tough.
That's a good hat. It's a good hat. You're ready to rock today.
Yeah, we're going to have a great day at the parade. I can't believe how many people are out on Michigan Avenue already.
You know, the Hawks had 2 million. 2 million in a kind of a truncated parade route. Now, you take the longer parade route the Cubs have and you put them in Grant Park. I don't know what the number is going to be. It's hard to imagine. It's over 2 million because you can only get so many people into the city and into a particular place. It's amazing, though, and the mayor talked about this last half hour, to turn this around in 36 hours where you could have streets and all the knocking we do of the city, right? We knock streets and sands. We knock, you know, the officials. But the cops fire and streets and sand got this done overnight last night.
No, this is one of the – I always say Chicago is the best city in the world.
No doubt.
And the fact that we can do this and look at all the security and the stanchions and, you know, it's the city that makes things happen.
All right, so here's the deal. You and your family run how many restaurants now?
We have three.
Yeah.
So we have two here in Chicago, RPM Steak and RPM Italian. And then
which are both unbelievable,
open
by the
one
way, if
in,
you haven't had a chance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And opened, one in D.C.?
One in D.C., RPM Italian. So, we had some of the Cubs players in last night. My wife was so upset because I get a report every morning of notables who've come into the restaurant. And I was reading some of the notables. She's like, she's such a Cubs fan.
Right.
And she was so bummed that no one called her to tell her that
I
we
told
had
you we should
Cubs
got
players. Yeah. She was irate with me this morning.
When did you have time to write a book?
Well, I fly a lot,
yeah.
And I spend hours and hours and hours on airplanes. And in fact, the idea of the novel was born on an airplane.
That's what I mean by a book. You've written books before, but this is a novel.
This is a novel,
this
right?
Is
which
a story
is crazy coming
into
from
a
me,
book.
Right? A romance novel coming from me.
Oh no, you're very romantic and a gentle kisser.
Well, thank you.
Bill Rancic's first novel is called First Light. Is this a story that's been kicking around with you for a while?
It's been a couple years. Yeah, a couple years in the making. And it's a story about family, about tragedy, about survival, and about love.
And in the book, are you any of the characters?
I am. Well, a version of a man I would like to be.
Okay,
is Daniel, and he's he is engaged to a beautiful woman who's pregnant.
Right,
and they're flying back from Alaska, and the plane crashes.
Right,
and then. It's
the story.
The human
unfolds.
Spirit. Yeah, the human spirit is tested.
Yeah, and great reviews.
Very good. Yeah,
really,
very pleased. Because I went into this knowing that I was going to be critiqued much harsher than your average person.
Yeah, because you know business, right?
Correct.
You know business.
Right.
And you certainly know the celebrity world now, but you know business. This is a whole different thing.
This is a whole different thing. Yeah, it's a different animal.
Were you a good writer in school?
I was a good writer, but listen, I had a lot of help. I had, you know, my wife helped me. I have a great woman here in Chicago. She's my book doctor. She helped me. So I definitely was not afraid to ask people for their advice.
Who's
their
your
guidance.
Book doctor?
No one you would know.
Oh, I thought she just wanted to give her some pub.
No.
Because she did a great job, and she's working undercover.
She's working undercover.
Yeah. Top secret. She's... but this being the success that it is, you're going to have to do another one.
Well, let's see. Let's see. You know, I'm hoping...
I'm guessing the people at Putnam said, we're going to need another one.
Well, that's definitely... they were very pleased with this. Now, we're only 3 days old.
Right.
So
yeah, but you've been all over. You just got back from New York, Bubba.
I got back from New York yesterday, and I was out in Naperville at a signing.
Yep.
And then tonight, I'm going to be at Old Orchard Mall doing a signing at the Barnes & Noble.
That's
7
exactly
o'clock.
Right, 7 o'clock. And then... for those of you listening around the country, at the Mall of America on Sunday.
Yes.
At 1 o'clock at the Rotunda at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. Out in Santa Monica on Monday, Santa Monica, California. Oh, 3rd Street Promenade.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It's best, yeah.
And then back here in Chicago on the 16th at Books a Million in the Loop.
Yeah. So
it's good busy schedule.
It's busy. Well, that's the book business has changed. It's you got to get out there and
you got to run fast, got to run hard.
You got to run hard, yeah.
All right, so is this a movie or a TV show? This feels like a TV almost a TV miniseries to me.
Well, it's funny, you know, my brother-in-law is the executive producer of Ray Donovan.
Yep.
So
yeah, I'm sorry that hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah, right.
What a good show.
Isn't it a good show?
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to see him when I'm in LA next week. So I'm going to pitch him on the movie idea.
There's something there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. We'll see. I mean, listen.
But TV now is so much different than when you were growing up, when I was growing up. TV now is, the quality is through the roof.
It's incredible.
You know, when the money that it's not just Netflix, by the way. It's everybody. Amazon.
But
everybody.
By the way, Netflix. I called my 81-year-old mother up. I said, Mom, I just found this great show. You got to watch it. It's called House of Cards. My mom laughs at me. She says, I've been watching that for 3 years. Where have you been, Billy? So, I mean, that
my
show is...
My son.
I just watched the first season of it.
Oh,
it is incredible.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's every episode is like a movie.
Yeah, exactly. So the quality of TV has never been better.
Never been better.
And see, that's why I like the idea of you doing a high-end TV series with this because it's got longer play.
That's true.
And it helps sell the second book.
I like it. Now you're talking like... You're thinking like a businessman.
It's unbelievable. I've paid attention through the years. You've taught me much, my friend.
Well...
More with Bill Rancic in a second, but First Light is the book, out and available wherever books are sold. You know, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one.
The holidays are right around the corner.
The holidays are around the corner. You know what? Start making out your gift list now. Buy them the book.
That's right.
Yeah, get it
done.
Got
to make the New York Times list.
Yeah, Duke's got to get to school at some point. It's 8:48. Let's get the traffic, and then more with Bill Rancic. If you want to say hi or shoot a text to him, it's 312-981-7200.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
8:54. Wintrust Community Bank brings you the 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, just stood by Bill Rancic's here. You know, it was just at the window was Jared Payton and Jared Payton's little boy. I thought for a minute we were going
There's Jared there.
Yeah, I thought, well, here we go. Let me turn this on here for a second. Hold on. I don't even know how to run this ship. Jared Payton's here. I thought I was going to get the exclusive interview with Jared Payton's son.
Well, you can get that interview if you would like, but it's going to cost you a little bit, Steve. My son, it's not cheap anymore. He's becoming a star.
Now, do his business cards say Jared Payton's son or Walter Payton's grandson? Which one?
It says just Payton's son, S-O-N, on Twitter. He's his own. Nice. He's got over 1,000 Twitter
He does.
Followers.
You're not lying about that. Wow, you set that up. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say hello. This is that moment. I was 5 years old when the Bears won in 85. Yep. I really don't remember. But for this four-year-old, all he's ever going to know is that the Cubs are unbelievable, and I took him out of school just so we could be here for this moment.
Of course you did. Right. It's the right thing to do.
I love you guys.
I love you guys.
All right, guys. Have
See
a good
you later,
one.
Man.
See JP.
Right,
what a good guy.
He is a good guy and an incredibly dedicated dad. But how about that good-looking young man? That's Walter Payton's grandson.
He's the same age as my son Duke. They got to hang together.
Yeah.
We got to set up a play date, Jared.
Can you imagine those two chasing the ladies?
Oh, my goodness.
Boy.
Lights out.
By the way, Dave Ennett and I, when our kids are growing up, we didn't have play dates.
No, neither did we. Yeah. I mean, how the world has changed. Oh, my goodness.
I mentioned, Dave, there's a website for it. It's P Harmony, you know, for the little ones, so they can actually get together. Bill Rancic's here. The new book, his first novel is called First Light. When you started writing this, it's different than writing the business books that you've written. It's different than writing the stories, the book that you and Juliana did together.
That's right.
This is a story that you have to take with character arcs and all of those things that get developed. At what point during the writing of this did you go, what the hell was I thinking?
Oh, I asked that question a lot. But honestly, I had a great teacher at Carl Sandburg High School who really encouraged me to pursue writing more. And she published some of my stuff in the school papers and things like that. And she passed away, you know, years ago, but I'll never forget her. It's funny how certain teachers have a lasting impact on your life.
No question.
And she was someone who really helped me with the creative side of it. But it's tough. It was tough, but I had, you know, like in business, I had good people who helped me and I wasn't afraid to ask for help. And I think when you check your ego at the door and you don't try to, I always say it's like being the conductor of an orchestra. When you don't try to play every instrument yourself, usually you can make beautiful music.
Well, I think you've been really consistent about that when you try to teach people about business, talking about don't be afraid to ask questions.
That's right.
Don't act like you know everything.
That's right. Because, have smarter people than you around.
Yeah, because you're the winner. When you go out and you have smarter people around, you can get some knowledge from them and put it to use.
That's right. Yeah.
So are you ready to do another one?
I want to see how this one goes first.
But, yeah, I mean, would you be willing to
100%. I loved it. It was fun. It was fun to kind of get lost and daydream and create these characters that,
But it's really hard writing a novel. And when Juliana gave you the thumbs up on it, that had to be a good day.
But she was a tough critic. I mean, there was a lot of red ink. You know, she would read these chapters and...
Well, you want somebody that can read the women in this, right, and go, no woman doesn't think that way. That type of vibe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she made some, you know, some critical changes where initially it was going to be told more from Carrie, the female character's, voice. And she said, this book's written by Bill Rancic. You can't have her being the narrator to this. So we kind of went back and reworked things. So she brought some pretty valid, changes to the table.
And it's called First Light. And again, you can probably go to your website for the signing stuff.
Right? Well, it's funny because I'm going to be... doing appearances at book clubs. So if you go to BillRancic.com and sign up, I'm going to be showing up at a handful of book clubs doing readings. Just make sure you have good food.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun contest that we launched
That's
a couple
a
weeks
idea.
Ago. Yeah.
And obviously RPMs here or there and in DC.
RPMs, yes. Hopefully many more RPMs to come.
Oh, you're looking at some other location?
That's the plan. I mean, we've got a great partner. I mean, it's a great partnership. Talk about smart people. I mean, this restaurant wouldn't be as successful if I didn't have we didn't have the right team.
And no,
the
Melman's take on a restaurant.
Our Chef Doug Saltis.
Yeah, the Melman family's tremendous. Obviously.
The best.
And the last question, because I've never asked you this, is with Juliana in the house, do you ever get to pick out your own clothes? I mean, the woman critiques me pretty harshly.
She critiques me pretty harshly.
I mean, if you're going somewhere, do you ever just walk out and go, I'm ready, and she goes, no, you're not?
I get sent back up to the room.
Right. Yeah. What is that, your practice outfit?
Well, I've been banned from wearing flip-flops with jeans now. Apparently, that's not cool.
Okay.
So I always thought that was
making
cool.
Making out of it.
And I never understood that. So, yeah, right. She's tough. She's tough on the...
So when she's on the road, do you ever wear sweats and just kick back?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
all
right,
the time.
Right, right,
I look homeless some days. I show up to pick up my son at school, and they have to, like, ask for ID.
They ask you for ID?
I haven't shaven. You know, I got sweats on, a hat.
Well, continue with the Cubs celebration coming up. No bigger Cubs fan than you, Bill Ramsey.
We will be out there. We'll be out there at 11, and my son Duke's got his Cubs sweatsuit on already, and he's ready to go. So,
right. Well, hi to the family. You're always welcome here.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations on the book, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, brother.
Again.
Thank you.
Getting it done.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over, and the Cubs have finally won it all.
This is the year.
Yeah, just another Cubs World Series parade day as the city's gone nuts.
You know, it's amazing, Steve. They haven't won a World Series in over 24 hours.
It's the kind of streak that can be disturbing.
Yeah.
There is such a sense of relief among Cubs fans. I think, and I was at an event last night for a really cool organization. It's called Naperville Response for Our Vets. It goes around and fixes up houses for vets that have, you know, a roof that's leaking or need to be painted or whatever, and make sure they're fit for whatever their needs might be. And I fully recommend you check out their website, NRFOV, Naperville Response for Our Vets.org. But I brought it up last night to the crowd. I don't know, there must have been at least a couple hundred people, maybe more. I said, how many of you don't believe it happened? You know, and everybody raised their hands. They're starting to believe, just a sense, it's like the entire city has a little bit of a buzz. They got kind of that goofy smile where they feel really good now. So people are lined up all over, but I'm concerned about the people across the street. Now, Ryan, I need some clarification. Mary Vandeveld, I need some clarification. There are people across the street. By the way, I guys got a great sign right here. Goodbye someday. Very nice, sir. Well done. But there are people across the street lined up on the barricades who are going to miss this parade, right? Line up directly across the street from me.
Are you talking about?
I'm talking to both of you.
Oh.
Go ahead, Mary. What information do you have?
I have the same I've had all morning, that it was going to be between Oak and Ohio on Michigan, and then at Ohio head to Columbus. I'm not hearing that it's going to be going all the way to Randolph.
Wait, we have breaking news from you, Dave?
Well, no, but
that
here's...
was earlier they said that, yesterday.
But here's where I think maybe there needs to be some clarification, because they're recommending that fans view the parade in three places: Addison from Sheffield to Pine Grove, North Michigan, Oak to Ohio, and Columbus between Monroe and Balboa.
Correct.
Those are the three places where the vehicles will be going at what they're calling parade speed. So
yes.
Does that mean they're turning at Ohio, or they're going to hit the gas when they get to Ohio and speed past us?
Well, that could be the case. I heard they were turning at Ohio. So...
then these people aren't going to see the parade.
Whether they whip fast on Ohio or whip fast on Michigan, you know, either way, they're not going to see it.
But why wouldn't the cops and everybody that are out here, why wouldn't they, you know, shoo these people down the street as opposed to letting them stand here on the barricades?
So are the police officers out there telling people it's going to go past? Are they?
They're not saying anything. I mean, the cops,
well,
people aren't moving.
Maybe someone, Jared was out there. I wonder if he asked them.
I mean, the cops across the street
there.
And the cops here. Let's have somebody go out, because at the bare minimum, we ought to have somebody do these folks a favor and go to Ohio Street.
Yeah, because like I said, the early information was that it was going to go to Randolph. Then they changed it, and that is the last I have heard from all the people I know and the sources and in the newspaper, you know, even.
Bennett's on it.
Okay, Bennett.
All right, 9:15. I've said a million times as the playoff run went on, and I said it all season, and so did you, Dave Bennett. How much fun would it be to watch Ron Santo enjoy this season that just happened? And whatever your set of beliefs are, I believe that Ron and Ernie orchestrated this entire thing.
No question.
That's the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. But I was thinking a lot about the Santo family. You know, Jeff was on TV the other day, and Ron Jr. is on the phone now. I don't know what words are even appropriate for you and the family other than congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's
I'm sitting here in my office as we talk, and I've got a great picture of Ernie and my dad in the late 60s sitting around the batting cage with just the two of them looking at the camera, and it's like staring at me right now. And it's just, I looked at that all during the playoffs and just thought about how just wonderful it would have been if they were here to experience it.
You know, being a dad, one of the great things about having kids is watching your kids enjoy something. But I was thinking that with your dad. I didn't even, you know, I would have traded the opportunity to watch your dad watch these games and watch them win just to see how much it meant to him and how much fun it was.
Oh, well, you guys, both you and Dave, know how he was. I don't know how he would have made it through with some of these playoff games, to be quite honest with you, as far as, you know, his nerves and everything and just the ups and downs. That would have concerned the whole family because, you know, with his health issues and his heart and that.
Right.
I don't know.
It's we would have needed a triple, like, that game-tying home run, we would have needed a triple curse filter and some medical people around.
Oh, he would have put, I could just picture him that with that home run. His head would have been on the you know, where the microphone is, just and not even listening to Pat for about a, you know, half an inning.
Well, you know what he did? I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but the headsets that, if you remember the old Monday Night Football studio shots, the headsets haven't changed that much through the years. They're headphones with a microphone attached to them. And God bless your dad, man, but once in a while he'd drop a curse word here and there, like we all do. And he got into this habit where if he felt one coming or if it was one of those moments, he'd take the headset off and he'd push it away or in some cases toss it at Boltsy just to get it away from him as far as he possibly could so he could do a little stress relief.
Yeah, and I understood because they still had that, like, button right next to him that he right. would never remember to use.
The button wasn't enough.
And I think Boltsy had once put a big little post-it note that said, use if you feel, you know, you're going to say something. But, yeah, you're right.
That never worked.
He would just take the headset off or just wear
right. Just get rid of the microphone.
Yeah. Ron, we know your dad had a special affinity for third baseman, you know, whether it was Gary Scott or Aramis, whoever, along Vance Law, guys who came along after him, tried to play the position. But I really think there would have been a connection there between him and Chris Bryant, don't you?
Oh, Dave, yeah, I agree. Yeah, because you know my dad real well. I agree. Chris Bryant just seems like, and I don't know him personally, but he just seems like such a down-to-earth, you know, young kid that is incredibly, as far as mature for his age. But, yeah, you're right. I thought about that the other day, too, of just how, you know, my dad always felt a special bond with all those, you know, third baseman that came up and stuff like that. And I think they definitely – and Rizzo's another one I think he would have really taken under his wing and stuff like that too. So I agree. This whole team just – and especially Joe. You imagine him and Joe doing the
manager's show.
The manager's show would have been something too. Would have been.
One of the great things about your dad is how much fun he had playing the game. Nobody was more competitive, but he loved playing the game. You know, he didn't jump and click those heels for no reason. And there's that great shot of Chris Bryant when he's about to make the final out official, where he's smiling before the ball gets to his glove because he knows he's got it. He knows he's going to make the throw, and he knows Rizzo's going to catch it. I mean, that's a moment. Again, all this stuff just reminds me of your dad.
Oh, yeah. That was funny because I caught that too, and I was like, he knew he was going to make the play. Right. And again, you know, seventh game, extra innings, the final out, you know, most guys would be just like on their knees making sure they grab this ball. And
right.
He's smiling, knowing he's going to make the play. And, it was such an unbelievable moment. I agree with you. I still kind of trying to like, okay, they won the World Series, but, okay, what else is supposed to happen now? It's like,
right.
It's strange.
Well, in the middle of this ridiculous campaign and a lot of tough news this year, this isn't just good news for Chicago. I mean, the nation and the world has really gotten a kick out of this. So it's the right time for all of us, I think. Where were you watching the game? Were you at home or where were you watching it?
I was at a friend's house. We had a couple of friends that was over there, and both of them are extreme diehards. And one friend, after the home run, left because he lived around, you know, 10 minutes late, he said, I have to leave. I got to go watch the rest of this game by myself. I can't take it. So he left after the home run. And then the friend's house that I was at, he's up in the bedroom laying on his bed. So I'm sitting there on the couch by myself because these guys were just, after that home run, were both having meltdowns in that. And, but yeah, it, I tell you, that rain delay really was, I think, a huge help.
It was so bizarre, right? I mean, we've had harder rain in the middle of a bright sunny day, and the 17-minute rain delay, which worked out like a halftime speech for Jason Hayward, and they come out pumped up and they get it done. So the last out gets made. I can't imagine how emotional that was for you. I know Jeff is an easy cry like I am, and everybody else maybe, but that had to be something else. I mean, was it just nothing but celebration, or did you get a little emotional yourself?
Yeah. It was so many emotions go through you. And, of course, right away I was thinking of my dad and Ernie and just how they would have been. And, I'd be honest with you, you kind of just didn't – I'm just watching them jump up and seeing on the screen World Series champions, and it was like, is this really happening? And, of course, then – you know, my phone blew up with everybody, you know, texting and saying, you know, that's for your dad and congratulations. And it was just, it was a special moment in that. So, of course, you know, my brother and sister, we text each other in that. And it really was. It was incredible.
It doesn't happen without your dad, without Ernie. I tell you, you know this. And again, the guest is Ron Santo Jr. It doesn't happen without the entire history of this team. And these fans, you know, you've invested so much time and so much passion and so much support, and to finally get it paid off like this, it's just great. It's just a great news story.
It really is. And, you know, I was thinking, too, also all these people that have suffered for so long, but like this new generation of kids that are in their mid-20s, I mean, boy, they've seen the Cubs, you know, 7-0-8 that didn't make it, but now a World Series, I mean, it's just funny. It's like, and now with this team, I see this team, heck, the next 4 or 5 years being back and forth all the time.
Should be.
In the playoffs. And they're just going to have a whole different, you know, attitude towards the Cubs than like us and that. So they got a lot to look forward to with this team.
Yeah, I got a 10-month-old granddaughter, my first grandchild, and I thought about that yesterday. She's never not known a Cubs world champion.
Think of that. That's crazy to hear, but I think it is. What the Ricketts have done and Theo Epstein, you know, this team, I mean, the infield kind of is going to remind me like the old days when infields used to stay together.
Yep.
They would know for 6-7 years.
Sure.
They're so young, you know, and they're pretty much in their beginning with their contract, so that they should be around for quite a while.
Well, I'm thrilled for you and your family, and we miss your dad all the time, but we know that he actually delivered this World Series. So we thank you and Jeff, and I think Jeff's going to come on with us Monday. But say hi to your sister, too.
Oh, definitely will, Steve and Dave. And, again, we miss you guys.
There you go. Ron Santo Jr. and the Santo family.
Thanks, Ron.
There you go. Steve Cochran back on 720 WGN. We got management outside now. Let me tell you something. That's my favorite management picture I've ever seen. All right, maybe second or third. Wintrust, home of Cubs checking in Sloan Water connects us. Brings you all Cubs coverage. Let's go back to Wrigley before Bennett explains where the parade's finally going to go here. Mark Carmen, who's arrived?
There are a lot of Cubs here, Steve. John Lester, I just shook hands with Albert Elmora Jr., who was just strolling through the neighborhood, walking in. Nobody seemed to know who he was, the guy that scored the go-ahead run in the 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series. Chris Bryant is here. Let's see, David Ross is here. Large ovation for Grandpa Rossi as he entered Wrigley Field. Dexter Fowler, Jason Hayward. Most of the guys, I would say, have arrived by now. Addison Russell, the whole deal.
What about dignitaries and hangers-on?
Well, you know, I've been watching Larry Wirt walk all over Waveland Avenue, Steve. So I was on a rooftop, so I went down to talk to Larry. I said, Larry, you know, how are you going down to Grant Park. He's like, oh, I'm going to be on one of these buses. I said, Larry, can you get me on there? And he looked at me and he said, are you kidding? And I said, apparently I am. I'll be taking the L. I tried, though.
Larry Word is the president of Tribune Media. He's not about to get help on. I mean, come on. He's got a reputation. He's got an image. So you guys are leaving Wrigley at 10?
Yeah, I you know, everybody's here right now. I think I might head on down there, Steve.
Yeah, I would. Based on your transportation or your situation, I'd leave and I'd take Larry's car. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the me and the CTA are going to become one in about 5 minutes here. So,
all right, get to Grand Park and check back in with Bill and Wendy when you do.
All right.
Thanks, bud. That's Mark Carman. Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. Sloan Water connects us. Bennett's here. All right, Bennett. So I was worried about the people lining up on Michigan Avenue because
no need.
Parade route we had heard was not going to come up Michigan Avenue. But you've talked to the authorities, and what are the authorities telling you?
I talked to three officers on the street just outside of this showcase studio, and it's confirmed that the parade will be coming down Michigan Avenue here. Mary can back me up if there's any other official traffic updated information.
This is what happens when you try to get it together in 12 hours.
Right. Exactly.
You get different information.
That is not okay. So you're saying that they're going to slowly process up to Randolph?
Nope. What he's saying is they're coming this way.
It looks as though that That's they'll be from Ohio.
No, but not slowly. They're grumpy.
Oh.
They'll probably be at traffic speed, cruising up Michigan Avenue to get down to Randolph, right?
Yes, and it looks as though that Michigan has just been closed off. There are people on the middle divider of Michigan Avenue for the southbound lane that's going to be featuring the parade route. So very different from what we initially thought.
Right. So the people that lined up here on Michigan Avenue are actually going to see the Cubs. They'll just see them at a faster rate than those who are in the designated parade viewing spots that were recommended by the city.
It seems as though, yes.
Okay. So, any other questions?
I just want to clarify. It's going to go southbound on Lakeshore Drive, all between Oak and Ohio. Slowly, and then it's going to speed up from Ohio to Randolph.
On Michigan.
On Michigan, I'm sorry, on Michigan, yes. Yeah.
That's what we're
that's
on.
That's correct.
That's our understanding.
So yes. We'll be on Michigan between Oak all the way to Randolph.
Yeah, so it'll go by the Showcase Studio.
Slow then fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they're not going to go 70. It's a trolley.
That's not what they have been saying. So,
yes. But this, again, is what happens when you put it together in 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You get different information. But we're telling you that's factual from the Chicago Police Department and their junior deputy, Bennett Wakeknight.
That's who I believe.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Bennett. You are now a reporter.
9:32. Big story in a moment, still to come before 10 o'clock, and we turn this over to Bill and Wendy, the captain. Jonathan Toews coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Off the faceoff, the Hawks control. Keith at the left point takes the puck, spins it down to the left wing corner. Francois Beauchemin there, put it up the boards. Keith took it back left point, fires! Save, rebound, score! In front of the net, Jonathan Toews had to muscle his way free from one of the Avalanche defenders. Got his stick in position, and there was the rebound. The captain put her home. It's 1-0 Hawks.
A couple of million people show up every time the Hawks win a cup. I bet we get that number today for your Chicago Cubs. There is a cap on the city. You can only fit so many people in.
Is that right?
Otherwise, you have to start spreading them around.
I think we're getting close.
Grand Park filling up. Michigan Avenue filling up. The parade route. Filling up. It's a longer parade than the Hawks did in 15 because they're coming down from Wrigley to get here. But a guy who knows a little bit about a championship parade because he's been the captain for three of them, it's Jonathan Toews. Taser, good morning.
Hey, Steve, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you been?
Not too bad.
Yeah, team's playing well.
Keeping busy. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I notice. Occasionally you put skates on, score a goal. It's good. What do you want to say to these Cubs who are experiencing their first championship parade?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just obviously want to congratulate them. I can't imagine how much pressure they've had to deal with, I don't think anyone in the sports world has really gone through anything like that to deal with a city that's just hanging on every single play and how they just hung in there. It's just such an emotional thriller to watch. And so, yeah, huge congratulations to those guys to getting over that hump and dealing with all the baggage that comes with playing for the Cubs and trying to win a championship for this team that's been waiting. For the city, I guess I should say that's been waiting so long for this sort of thing. So it's pretty incredible.
You know, when you guys had your first title in 10, you're all, you know, butterflies. You do your first championship rally. I mean, it sounds like a stupid question, but do you get better at it? Do you go, well, I didn't do this the first time, so I'm going to do it for the second one? Or in the third one, it becomes old hat? Like, what would you tell the players? Just enjoy the moment?
Yeah, enjoy the moment. You know, there's it's just, you're getting up on stage there, maybe watch the Corey Crawford clips and maybe don't go down that road.
Right. You know, that seems solid. Yeah, that does seem solid.
You know, I just enjoy it. It's going to be pretty cool. And you know, I'm looking forward to watching it today, too. So it'll be pretty awesome.
We'll get to a very cool thing that Jonathan Toews is doing for the community in a second. But, Dave, question about this team?
Yeah, well, good morning, first of all, Mr. Captain. You have seen this team kind of they've been on a typical Blackhawks roll, or more typical lately. Is there anything, as you look at the game last night, that, for instance, maybe the early part of the game wasn't a great start, and that's kind of been a bit of a problem. And then you scored, and Hossa scores about a half a minute later, and then from then on it seemed like things were pretty good. But how do you get started a little better than you have?
Yeah, well, I think our challenge is to play the complete game and really come out with the energy that we're looking for. You know, we're definitely showing that we can score goals when we get our chances. You know, it'd be nice for us to show what we can do if we really started to control games and to dominate down low in the offensive zone. We don't have a whole lot of games where we're out shooting or out chancing other teams, but, you know, I think our penalty kill is better, our defensive play is better when it has to be. And Crow has been incredible. So, I mean, he's kept us in games where we're able to eventually distance ourselves. He's had a couple of shutouts lately. And so if we can, you know, play the way we have, which we're obviously not satisfied, but come out on top where we're not giving up a lot, I think that's a pretty good quality to have early in the season.
I figured it'd be another two or three weeks before you really started seeing the chemistry and kind of this young team gel, because – all the Hawks have to do is basically take a third of the team and reinvent the wheel every couple of years. But it's coming together even faster than that, and that's good news for all of us who are nuts for the Hawks. Home and home with Dallas this weekend. The parity in the National Hockey League has never been deeper. I find this amusing. I just looked while you guys were talking. You know when the NHL was formed, Dave? 9 years after the Cubs last won their World Series. Yes. 1917 is when the NHL started. Mm-hmm. How about that?
That's some perspective right there. Eh? It's pretty incredible.
That's amazing. All right, so tell me about the kitchen community. What is it, and what's your involvement?
Well, first of all, thanks for chatting with me about it. I'm pretty excited about it. I think the kitchen community is a great group. They're building learning gardens in schools for kids. So what a learning garden is basically an outdoor garden where kids go out there. They have different subjects that they can learn, that they can learn hands-on in the garden where they grow vegetables. And, you know, they can learn about everything from their own health to eating healthy, to learning about where their food comes from if they buy at the grocery store to begin with, or also how that affects them and how it affects the environment, and all different types of subjects that they can learn while being outside, while, you know, growing and eating healthy vegetables. I think it's just it's a cool program, a cool group that does so much for kids to keep them healthy and active, and kind of give them tools to grow up with that eventually when they move on and they grow up into adults, something that they'll remember, something that they'll be able to use and understand as far as where good food comes from and
you know, maybe where bad food comes from and how it can affect them. I think for me, a huge problem you see, and right now we're obviously, you know, in the Hockey Fights Cancer Month. So it's amazing to see what the NHL does and what the Blackhawks do for young kids who are in the battle of their lives. And but I think there's also something to be said too about you know, healthy eating and disease and cancer prevention on the one side too. So so I think there's a great group, and I'm excited to support them. And obviously we have a campaign going on prizeo.com/Blackhawks, and we've been promoting that. And so it's basically a raffle, and people can donate to get their chances in for this raffle. And the grand prize is kind of a VIP day with myself. We'll go to pregame skate, have a little pregame meal, just like the Blackhawks do right after the skate, and then they'll come back for game time and have a little meet and greet in the locker.
Yeah, that's cool.
After the game. So it's a pretty cool prize. I think a lot of people are excited about it. And, so for me, I'm just trying to promote what the kitchen community is doing right now.
Yeah, that's great. Good of you to do it. I know how careful you are about what you eat and fuel the engine. You know, so it makes total sense that you'd be tied to this. By the way, again, it is Prizeo, prize with an O, the letter O, prizeo.com/Blackhawks. You make a $10 donation there. You can make as many as you want. The more you donate, the more chances you have to win. And there's a bunch of extra awards as well. So good for you for doing this, dude. It's you know, you're welcome here anytime, but I love this guy. I love this cause.
All right. Thanks a lot for bringing it up, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, by the way, your Halloween costume was unbelievable.
Scary.
Yeah, it was a good one this year. My girlfriend's good friend is a makeup artist, and
we saw
a few of these pictures on the internet. We're like, we got to do that. So we basically took the idea. It was kind of like a Karate Kid, you know, skeleton costume type thing. And we took it to another level. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun this year.
You didn't wear that when the trick-or-treaters were coming over, did you? Because you wouldn't have given away a candy bar.
No, I didn't. The second we were both dressed up, our little dog was looking at both of us. Confused. But we scared her a little bit, too.
Have a great weekend against Dallas. Get a couple more, will you?
All right. Thanks a lot, fellas. We appreciate it.
Thanks. That's Jonathan Taves, the captain. Yes. .957, old friend of the show, longtime member of the Cubs family, Bob Ibeck. And Bob works at the number of companies, including Nick. Is it Nico Sports or Nick? How do I pronounce this, Bob?
It's Nico Sports, Steve. It's nice to be with you, and hope you're getting ready to celebrate that parade today.
Yeah, congratulations to you, because you're a part of the family there, too.
Yeah, I spent 10 years with the Cubs. I was their PR director, started the Vine Line newspaper way back in the 1980s, and just so happy for so many of my old friends that were with the ball club then, and certainly a few of them still left now. And I know we're doing something really special to help out the Cubs Care charity down there. They started out in 1981, and we've been working on the set with Rawlings Baseball. I'll describe what it is, and I'll give out a website real quick how people can get the ultimate gift idea. It's only 5,000 of these four-ball baseball sets will be produced. They all come with an acrylic display case for just $99. Steve, what you'll get is a 1907 replica World Series baseball, a 1908 replica World Series baseball, this year's baseball from this year, and have all the scores against the Indians, the logo, really, really cool. And then you'll get a Wrigley Field history baseball thrown in there, so you get all four baseballs for $99. We start out with 5,000 sets. We're down to like the last 1,000, so I do urge people to call early today and try to get these. They'll be sent to you in about 6 weeks. If you'd like to order them.
Can you get them by Christmas? Because that's what people are going to want to know.
You'll get them well before Christmas, yes.
Okay.
You'll get these at the toll-free number, 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Or just go to NicoSports.com NIKCOsports.com. Steve, I guarantee you, I had a chance to look at a prototype yesterday. You put these up in your office or in your home. The four balls are so great inside this acrylic display case. It is beautiful.
Well, congratulations to you, Bob, and that's a cool thing, and it kind of takes a full circle for Bob Iback.